by the Word of God as we seek God's own instructions for worship that is pleasing to Him. In our time, we have experienced a radical eclipse of God. The shadow that has fallen across the face of God cannot destroy His existence any more than a passing cloud can destroy the sun or the moon. But the eclipse hides the real character of God from His people. It has brought a profound loss of the sense of the holy, and with that, any sense of the gravity and seriousness of godly worship. We are a people who have lost sight of the threshold and have begun to fail to make a transition on Sunday mornings from the secular to the sacred, from the common to the uncommon, from the profane to the holy. We continue, as did the sons of Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, to offer strange fire before the Lord, Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. We have made our worship services more secular than sacred, more common than uncommon, more profane than holy. This book is a brief introduction to the basic principles of worship, set forth for our instruction and edification and for our obedience in Scripture. It looks at both the principles enjoined by Scripture and the models displayed in Scripture. Our modern worship needs the philosophy of the second glance, an ongoing attempt to make sure that all that we do in worship gatherings is to God's glory, to His honor, and according to His will. May this book help bring an end to the eclipse of God in our time, and help us once again render unto God the worship we are designed to give. Chapter 1, The Form of Worship. It was one of those lovely autumn Saturday afternoons when people's thoughts turned to football, golf, or raking leaves. But I was doing something else entirely, reading again the Discourse on Method and Meditations of René Descartes. I appreciate philosophers such as Descartes who pursue the truth by going back to first principles in seeking for foundations upon which everything else is established and from which everything else flows. In my own activity in theology and philosophy, I use this approach frequently because it is so easy to lose sight of the forest when you get caught among the trees. When I am confused, I like to back up and say, okay, what do we know for sure? What is the foundation upon which everything is built? That is exactly what I want to do in this study of worship. We are living in a time when there is a manifest crisis of worship in the church. It is almost as if we are in the midst of a rebellion among people who find church less than meaningful. They are bored. They see the experience of Sunday morning as an exercise in irrelevance. As a reaction against that, it seems that almost any church we visit is experimenting with new forms and new patterns of worship. This experimentation has provoked many disputes over the nature of worship. The worship battle lines tend to be drawn between what is called liturgical worship and non-liturgical worship. In a very real sense, these labels represent a false dilemma. In the first place, any service of worship I have ever attended could be called liturgical. All that liturgical means is that there is a liturgy, an order or a pattern, and that certain things are done in the service. The same kind of thing may be said with respect to formal and informal worship. Informal simply means without form. We cannot, however, have corporate worship with no form. There is some form to every worship service, so there is really no such thing as worship that is informal in the literal sense. The issue is not whether we are going to have a liturgy or a form. The question is, what will be the structure, the style, and the content of the liturgy? Once we have settled on a form, we must ask whether it is a legitimate form. To find the answer to that question, we need to return to first principles, to the foundations, and search out what God wants us to do in worship. The issue is not what stimulates or excites us. Though that is not an insignificant or unimportant issue, our overriding concern needs to be, what is pleasing to God? The question we need to ask is this: if God Himself were to design worship, what would it look like? We are not left